So, over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge. And I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge. So, lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period. But the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen slash watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. Noom is here to change that. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. One of the great things about Noom is that it's nourishing instead of restrictive. They focus on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything for that matter. Have cravings? Food FOMO? Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Okay, everybody, welcome back to Hypothalamic
Amen Maria podcast. I am with my client, my restorative fertility client, Meredith. This is super interesting. Meredith, to be honest, when I first saw that you, that part of your story was kind of wild, I was like, oh my gosh, should we even be working with her? I mean, I think naturally any like responsible person would ask themselves that. So I'm not like, it wasn't like a doubt, but I think I wanted you to share your story because I think it truly proves how resilient the body is and that HA isn't a badge to be worn, but it's also not a sign that your body's broken. It's, we have forced our body into this hyper resilient state that we're trying to come out of. And I think that like your story really talks about that. So wherever you want to start, babe, where do you want to start?
We can start when I was a teenager because I did get my period at 14 years old and it was fairly normal. I was always in sports, so it wasn't 100% normal, but doctors and even my mom chalked it up to like, you're a very active child, so it's okay. It'll normalize as you get older. And I have a wonderful mom. She was always very in tune and it was very easy for me to talk to her about things. So then as I was growing as a teenager, I developed a lot of allergies out of nowhere.
Yes, that's so, right. Your intake. I was like, oh my gosh, y'all, this is wild. I'm glad that you're bringing this up.
Yep. So, I mean, and it just, the way that I talk about my story, it also just proves that amenorrhea is so complex and you can't, it's very difficult to just have one doctor helping you or one person helping you because there are so many layers to it. So my layers kind of start with having allergies. And so that naturally, one of the big ones was soy. And, you know, soy is in so many things. So even as a teenager, I was heavily restricting a lot of food that my body did need. But I worked with an allergist and my parents, and we found a way of eating for me that we, day by day, I would feel okay being a little bit away from my EpiPen. And so just that hypersensitivity in my mind to food started at a younger age. And then going through college, I was always just mindful of it. I had gotten into a groove. I was careful, but I did have a lot of reactions. And so then as I was getting older, it just made me be even more hypersensitive to food. So then when I was about, I want to say 23, 24, I had learned about counting calories just from someone in my family who is very analytical and likes numbers. And it was kind of almost a game to them, the macros piece of it.
Yes.
They were by no means obsessive about it in any way, but we were literally sitting one day at Christmas and my family member was telling me about counting calories and macros. And I was like, oh, if you can.
Sorry, pick it up from there, love.
Yeah. So just seeing how you really could manipulate these numbers, I was like, oh, I want to try this. It's another layer of safety for me around food. And at the same time, I got really into running and cycling, and that I was never really into weightlifting, even just small weights like weight machines and stuff. I never really did that. So as I learned how being in a calorie deficit paired with this intense exercise, and then also the mindset that I had just around this fear of food in general hurting me, I easily fell into, you know, this viewpoint of, oh, this is helping my body get smaller, and I'm liking the way that I look. I like that I don't have to be looking at myself in the mirror all the time because clothes just fit me so well. And I honestly did, you know, it sounds shallow, but I did get a lot of pride out of how disciplined people thought that I was around food and exercising, and that I would skip a lot of fun activities in order to exercise. I would, you know, skip out on birthday desserts and all of that just to feel safe around food and not feel like I was going over my calories. So all of that paired together, I did not realize that I had this disordered way of looking at food and exercise. So I fell into this very underweight mindset, and I didn't realize until the Restore Your Fertility program how much it had messed with my life in general. But kind of to go back into the story. So I had this new way of eating new way of exercising that I, in theory, loved back then. And then when I was 30 years old, I had been on birth control that whole time. So I was always having a period. It came, you know, same time of the month. So I never had a reason to like throw a red flag, like, hey, something's wrong.
You're like, I'm bleeding. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what happens. You know what I mean?
So I had been on it for like 12 years at that point. And so when I was 30 years old, I broke my hip from running and I had an accident. And nobody ever questioned me about like my bone density or anything.
That is, but it's you're 30.
Yeah.
With a broken hip.
Mm-hmm.
How does that not like trigger, hey, we should probably get a DEXA scan. Like, is this okay? And also, I think that this is kind of interesting. And this isn't like bash on doctors. I'm not saying that at all. But I do think that like, a lot of times we think that hormonal birth control is very protective because it's synthetic hormones. But you had been on it for a good majority for a while, and yet you still broke your hip at 30.
Yep. And it was definitely just from the undernourishment. You know, I was fasting all of the time and not eating salads on salads and then throwing oatmeal in there and thinking that that was getting me nutrients that I needed, but it wasn't. So when I broke my hip, nobody questioned my weight at the time or anything like that. And so
nobody looked into HA whenever
not at all.
Not a physical therapist, not a surgeon, not a doctor. So everyone just thought that this broken hip at 30 was completely normal.
No, and you know, like even when I would go into the many doctor's offices back then, and they would take my heart rate. And everyone would be amazed with how low my heart rate was. Mm-hmm. So now learning from you and the other coaches about heart rates, and I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have been proud to have such a low heart rate back then. Yeah. That should have been also a sign like, hey, you probably need to look in to the reasonings why you have a broken hip at 30 just from one fall in a run. So then, it was kind of like, whatever, I fixed my hip. I went back to running and everything. I got married 2 years ago, and so we were a year into marriage, and I went off of birth control because we wanted to have a baby in our second year of marriage. And by the end of year one, I still hadn't had a period. Everyone kept telling me, oh, it'll come. You were on it for so long. It will come. Just wait. Be patient. I switched to gynecologists at that time because I just kind of felt like no one was really listening to me and helping me. And at that time, it wasn't even about getting my period back. I just knew that you had to be ovulating to get pregnant. So that was more of my driving factor, which also just goes to the lack of knowledge and education that I had on what it means if you do have your period, you know, all of the positive things that are going on in your body if you do. But I was just focused on getting pregnant. So I had switched to a new gynecologist and they had me do the Provera challenge twice. Nothing happened. And so then the next step was, okay, do you want to go to a fertility doctor or we can try progesterone? They had also sent me to an endocrinologist and a nutritionist. The endocrinologist was very hard on me. She said, you need to gain weight. Your BMI is way too low. But of course I was like, no way, I'm not doing that. I'd rather just take these, you know, pills or a hormone treatment or something and do it an easier way and still keep the way that I looked and felt about myself. So I gained a little bit of weight. I tried eating a little bit differently, but for the first few months, I was doing it on my own. I didn't know that there were societies and resources, and because I didn't know that it was so common among people my age to have a missing period who were in similar food and exercise predicaments that I was in. So after gaining a little bit of weight, of course, I didn't get that immediate positive reinforcement. I didn't get my period. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm gaining weight for absolutely nothing and eating food that I don't even want to be eating. And so one doctor suggested just trying progesterone. And so I tried it. I was going to do 3 rounds of it across 3 months. And halfway through my second round, I actually had a stroke. And so...
Oh my gosh. Like, I was just... it's so much. Go ahead.
And at this point, I'm only 32. So to be having a stroke at 32 was a huge red flag. So, you know,
What did you think was the future of your health when you're like, when I just take a high level inventory of my life, I've broken my hip at 30 and I've already had a stroke at 32. Like, what does 55 bring?
Well, I think I can say this now, but anybody who is still in that fight or flight mode, I think it's really hard to look at things rationally. I wasn't able to piece it together and say, hey, there's like a bigger picture of health that is not going right for me, because I thought that I was the epitome of health.
Totally.
And through this experience, you've helped me understand, like, yes, there is this range of health, but you want to sit there in the middle where you can flex either way. You can have days of, yeah, being really quote unquote healthy. And then you have your days where you are just indulging and relaxing and not being so hard on yourself. And I was sitting on such an end of the spectrum that it really was unhealthy how healthy I thought that I was being. I wasn't being healthy with my food and exercise. So my
but
mindset
I could imagine that you thought you were so healthy and yet these things kept happening to you. I'm surprised it didn't push you deeper into like orthorexia or, you know, like clean eating. Like, oh my gosh, like I gave myself a stroke. You know what I mean? Because I had a brownie one day, right? Come to find out, which I think like you're getting to how this stroke actually happened. You know what I mean? But I could just imagine feeling really scared about the future of your health when like you're already doing all the quote unquote right things.
Exactly. And so the stroke, it happened in the middle of March of 2024. And, you know, sitting in the ICU and talking about with the doctors what I had been, how I did the Provera challenge. And then, oh, I was on progesterone. That was a huge red flag for them. So they sent me to a hematologist, an oncologist, to get blood testing. And she found a gene mutation. So I have a disorder in my blood where you can't be taking hormones like that unless you're on a prescription blood thinner. So I found that out just a little bit after, just shortly after the stroke. And so from there, I knew that I was going to be out of work, at home, doing nothing for at least 3 months is what the doctors had recommended to let my body heal just from the stroke itself. And so by week two, I was just so frustrated because I was like, well, how am I going to get pregnant now if I can't even take the progesterone or a hormone to help me get a period or to really just to help me ovulate is what I was after. And so I had read a book because I was at home doing nothing at this point. I read a book that was all about amenorrhea, and it had suggested to go online and find a community near you or around you that you could join. And so I literally was Googling and found the HA Society. And I think it was maybe like my third or fourth week being home. I said to my husband, like, hey, I think I need to join this and just invest in myself for the next 3 months of healing more than just the stroke problems. I need to heal holistically and figure out really what's going on with my body and why certain things are not functioning the way that they should. And so at that point, that's when I met you and I had told you, like, hey, this is literally like a last ditch effort for me. I either have to get my period or having children for me born from my body is just not in the cards for me because it's too risky to be taking a hormone in order to ovulate. Yeah. So from there, we met and now I'm here today, almost 3 months later, and I've had one period. I'm working on my second round of ovulation for a period or hopefully getting pregnant. So it's been very full circle and I've learned more about myself and about my body in the last 3 months than I have in 32 years. So it's been wonderful.
It is definitely like drinking from a fire hose. I think anytime that you enter into the HA space, there's just so much that's not been taught to us, just body literacy in general, but it really is like drinking from a water hose. And like, before we kind of dig into like, what was the things that you changed and everything to get your period back, I do just want to say that her first period, I have to brag on her because I don't think that she knows how unique this is. There's very few people who get a first period and they ovulate and they have a 12, no, 14. Yours was 14. I thought this chick was pregnant. I was like, oh my gosh, she's pregnant. You know what I mean? Just from like the way that your chart was responding. And even now, if I was to see it again, I totally think that you would that like you were going to be pregnant. But this chick had a 14-day luteal phase on her first. I don't even think I rock a 14-day luteal phase. I'm generally like 12, maybe some, you know, 11, 12, maybe 13. But this chick went full 14 on her first cycle, which is just a really strong indication of a strong ovulation, not just like squeaking by, you know what I mean? So we totally expect her second one to be coming, you know, whenever it decides, you know, she's on cycle day 14 now and she's doing the little dip. And so we'll see what's coming. But I mean, wow. Can we just pause? Like broken hip, stroke. And then what was probably like 4 months? Would you say that your recovery was 4 months? And I think that's important too, because so many people are like, it didn't happen in 8 weeks. I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Or like we get really disappointed when it doesn't happen within 12 weeks. And totally, and even for the Restore Your Fertility, this is something really important, guys. She joined a 10-week program and she did not heal within 10 weeks. But it did not mean it wasn't coming around the corner. And I think that that's just so important. Whenever you've gone years and years and years and years without ovulating, and then like it happens, like, do you really care that it's 4 months instead of 3 months? I mean, I know it's hell waiting. Trust me. Like, I know that wait because I'm waiting there with you, right? So I'm like, I'm always like reliving my like recovery. I'm like, oh my gosh, here comes the wait again. You know what I mean? But just in 4 months, I feel like you've gone from like the pit to like really starting to thrive. And I know that there's more healing for you. And I know that like we're not exactly at your goal yet, but like considering how your body responded to your own progesterone, like I'm floored. Like I'm just like, wow, like look at your body go.
It really is proof of just how resilient the body is. I think that one thing that stuck with me that you, Danny, and Mishi had always said from the very beginning is that your body wants to produce progesterone. Your body wants to ovulate. It wants to have a regular cycle. And so it was a big piece of it for me was learning to work with my body, like go into the flow with my body and not be working so against it all of the time, which is what I had been doing for probably 5 to 6, 7 years of trying to manage it instead of letting my body tell me what it needs and wants day by day. I definitely was always fighting it and not listening to what it needs. And I looked at that as that I was very disciplined. And really, it was like the opposite. No, you're very difficult to, to deal with.
Good. You're not disciplined. You're difficult. Oh, you're my hard-headed. Gosh.
You don't listen to other people. That.
I am so going to keep that because we totally, oh my gosh, I could see this now. I'm pretty sure Danny and Mishi would get flashbacks to their most disciplined but really difficult moment. Like, oh my gosh, you're so right. We sit here and we're thinking we're like the epitome of discipline and we're like the epitome of the most difficult.
Yeah, I could just feel my body telling me your brain is so difficult to work with. Just bring down the barriers. And that's what I did for, you know, the 4 months, but 10 weeks really in the Restore Your Fertility program was learn to just like break down these barriers that I had built up against myself and just start trusting my own body that it knew what it needed to be safe. And then once I allowed it to be in that safe space for long enough, which for me was 4 months, it needed 4 months in order to trust that I wasn't going to go restrict or I wasn't going to go run 10 miles tomorrow without putting anything in my body and then refusing to eat anything after and all of that, thinking that, oh, you're not thirsty, but really just I didn't have thirst and hunger cues because of the HI.
Let's pause. Girl, you ran a lot.
Yes.
Every day. Please tell the people. Tell the people what your food and exercise looked like before the stroke. Because obviously you capitalized on this time of having a stroke and not being able to run. So I think that's actually really powerful. Like you were already going to have to rest. Might as well finish healing actually everything, which I think like you verbalized so beautifully. But I feel like people need to know what the flip you were doing before, because it's kind of intense.
Yeah, I would run 7, 8, or 9 miles every single morning. Like I said, I would do it fasted. I would wake up at 5 a.m. I preferred to run outside because I felt like I was burning more calories if I was outside in the elements versus on a treadmill. So even rain, shine, super cold weather, super hot weather, I was out there busting my rear end just to get those miles in, because the more miles meant the more calories burned. And so then I just felt like, okay, I'm good for the day, because I know there's no way I'm eating more than what I've already burned. So a lot of times, even in the afternoons, I would go for a cycle, either on my stationary bike or outside if I could get outside again. And then, like I said, before and after, I was not fueling. I would do it all fasted. And like I said, I did not drink a lot of water. My husband and my family couldn't believe how I never drank water, but it was just because my thirst cues weren't turned on anymore. Mm-hmm. They weren't functioning. And so, you know, I never took a rest day. It was 7 days a week of hitting the pavement. And to me, it was like, again, I'm so disciplined. I care so much about my health and everything. I would skip out on family functions. I wouldn't want to go on certain trips because I felt like I wasn't going to be able to run. If I was going on a vacation or if I was going to be away from home, the first thing I'd have to figure out is, okay, where can I run? How can I run? I went with my in-laws for the first time on an international trip. We were going to St. Lucia. And my biggest fear was, oh, I don't know, like, with the streets and if I can run outside by myself. And instead of like being excited for this family trip, that's what I was most focused on. So that was like how obsessed I was with burning the calories every day. But then on the flip side, I wouldn't eat. Usually I wouldn't eat some oatmeal until some 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then I would usually have this heaping bowl of salad, and I would throw lots of vegetables in there. And I learned again through you that that's just a way of filling myself up, that it wasn't really giving me the nutrients. It was just filling my stomach up. So then I was like, no, I am full. Look at how much salad I eat, you know? Mm-hmm. And back then too, if I was eating that, I would bring it to family functions. I would bring it to Christmas or to different holidays. I would bring it to my aunt's and uncle's house and eat that in front of them. I wouldn't touch any food that anybody else made. And sometimes people would make comments like, that is a huge salad. And I took that as, oh, they're so envious of the way that I eat and how healthy I am. And really, I'm sure in some people's mind, they were like, she does not need that much lettuce. Like, there's no way that she needs that much today.
Nobody can eat that much lettuce. Oh my gosh. I had the biggest salad bowl too. And it's a mixing bowl. You know what I mean? It's like a massive mixing bowl that I would put this massive salad in, and all the raw veggies and stuff like that. Yeah. So, oh my gosh, what did your husband think of that? Like, I'm just, you know, like, now that I think about, like, now that I'm on this side of recovery, and I just like look back at my poor husband. He's been through so many stages of my crazy, so many stages, that I wonder if he's ever like, so are we good here? Are we staying here? You know what I mean? So how did he respond to all this? And like, what is his thoughts now? Like, as he's like actually seeing you like thrive.
At the time when I was in the thick of HA, nobody ever questioned it. And partially that was because I had a lot of allergies, and in my late 20s, I grew out of them, but like I did allergy tests and a lot of them were gone, but it was like, okay, well, I like this way of eating. This is what I'm doing. I like how I look when I eat this way. So I'm never changing it. So for a while, it was so easy for me to fall back on, oh, well, I have allergies. I'm too scared to eat any other type of food. So I'm going to eat the same thing every day with no nutrients. Yeah. And so back then, like, how could anyone argue with me? Because it was just a safe way to eat. After a while, after I grew out of those allergies around like 28, 29 or so, honestly, I think that I had become such a hard-headed person and that anybody knew, well, if I share the opinion that I feel like she should eat some meat and some animal protein, it's just going to cause a fight and she's going to shut down and not listen to it. So I know that my parents and my siblings, my husband, didn't want to argue about my food. And so now looking back, of course, I feel horrible about it. And part of my healing journey was kind of going on that apology tour for the way that I would behave. And, you know, that I would refuse to go out to dinner with my husband. We always cooked at home because I was not going to go out and eat food that was cooked in butter or oil and all of that. So
right.
I apologized to him for a lot of the sacrifices that he made just to make me happy. And even holidays, not enjoying my mom's food, home cooked meals on all of the holidays where the rest of the family was bonding over those special things. So now that we're on the flip side of it, I told you I was just at my in-laws last weekend.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law made this comment about how he loves that I'm enjoying all of the food that they're cooking for us. And I probably kind of gave him like a weird look, but I didn't mean to. And,
yeah,
and he immediately was like, no, not that it was bad. I know I know you just ate the way you wanted to, but I love being able to have you enjoy the food in our house and talk about it. And because it is a bonding experience,
yeah,
you know, and culturally it can be really good to bond over. So now that I see all the positives of letting my guard down and being a little more relaxed, a lot more, I should say, relaxed around food, just being able to go out and enjoy meals with my husband and talk about them and not feel like, okay, when I go to my in-laws for 5 days, well, I know that probably 15 hours are going to be spent running and cycling and working out. Not anymore. Now it's like, no, these 5 days I'm with people who I should be spending time with, quality time with. I should be excited to wake up and have breakfast with them, not rush out the door to make sure that I get my workout time in for 2 or 3 hours a day. So it's been such a change and it's only been positive. I think that my relationships have grown. My brother made a comment a month ago that he feels like I'm back to how I was in college and high school, just a much softer person, not in the way that, you know, I still would stand up for myself if
totally.
But just a little more calm down, slower paced.
Realize how crazy. So you're like, I think it was to Kate. She was like, I was recording with her before. In one of our sessions, we were talking about like, you wind up over facilitating your husband's life, your family's
everything.
Life, because you've jam-packed your schedule so tight to fit in all these things that nobody else would be able to pull it off unless you facilitated it. And the amount of like that vibe, like I can see myself, like I could see how like I didn't feel like I had anxiety, but I was totally operating off of like that massive cortisol high. Because I just lacked enough food. And so your cortisol like shoots up to keep your blood sugar stable the entire time. And you're just like, it's almost like you're moving a million miles an hour and nobody else is.
Yes.
And from the other, and so from us, that's what it feels like. But I can just see it from their perspective. It's like, it could be perceived as like uptight or short tempered or like just never stopping, and that vibe for other people is not welcoming. So
it's
when he's
exhausting,
it's exhausting to be around those types of people. So like when like he said softer, I actually didn't even think about your body. I actually just thought about like you can just breathe around you now because you don't have that high energy that's coming off of cortisol. You know what I mean? Yeah.
This was just this. I always had to be in control of everything. Even on our wedding day 2 years ago, I didn't even eat the food at my wedding. I didn't have the cake. I made a salad for myself that morning and my mom put it on my plate and everything. And my mom served it to me because I would not let the caterers touch my food. I didn't want someone accidentally putting oil on it or a dressing that I didn't want to eat. So even on a huge day, like a wedding day, I still ran my 7-8 miles that morning, and I still refused to eat or enjoy anything that anyone else was making or doing for me. Even all my bridesmaids, getting ready, I didn't enjoy any of the food or indulgences or anything like that, because it was like, nope, I'm eating this and no one is touching it, and then I'm going to be on with my day. And if you let me do it, I'll be happy. And if you try to mess with it, I'm not going to be happy. So it was like operating in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't eat, you don't have a welcoming presence.
Yeah.
You seem like you want to connect and bond with people and everything. So that was just always the vibe that I was giving off.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580.
Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yep. We looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah. Boom. There you go.
Yeah. So that kind of brings us to, I mean, there was, thankfully, by the time you got to me, you really were doing great with your food. You know what I mean? Like you had made so many changes. And yes, we continued to make more changes, but you know, like it wasn't, like there was a lot of other things that we actually had to do. And one of them was like mandatory 30 days of joy.
Yes.
Not fun, but joy. And considering how you kind of explained how your life was, it makes sense that this was actually kind of pivotal for you.
It was. So I had come to you crying one day because I just felt like I was doing so much and nothing was changing. And I had told you I have this fear of going back to work after the stroke. And you said, well, when are you going back to work? And I told you the day and you said, okay, well, that's 30 days away. So what if you took 30 days and every single day you did one thing that was fun for yourself? You're literally not doing anything else. I was at home all day just obsessing over what HA and how I was recovering, or how I felt like I was not recovering yet.
Yeah. You're like, I'm just not perfect enough. It's not working.
And you challenged me, which honestly was probably a major blind spot for me, that I was never doing anything just for fun for myself. I always, even if I was just watching TV, I felt like I had to be productive. Mm-hmm. If even just walking the dog in sunshine, okay, well, I could get a podcast, listening to. So it was like, okay, every single day, do one thing if you got to spend a little money, I'm sure my husband would understand.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every single day I did something different for myself. It was one day it was a massage. I went to the movies by myself one day. I took a baking class one day. I actually ended up doing that twice because I enjoyed Ooh. It so much. But so it was every day doing something for at least a few hours where it really was like nothing to do with recovery, nothing to do with stress. I wasn't having to control anything or obsess over anything. Really just something, go out and do something for joy for a little while. And that was pivotal for me because I was also very stressed about going back to work.
Yeah.
So being able to get out of the house and my mind off of everything was so helpful for me in that last month.
Well, that and the thing about like we can get so hyper focused on recovery, and it's actually a really common thing, and it does take time to like come out of that. But that's just because women with HA were so driven, we're so productive driven. I'll figure out the proper word for that. That, you know, like it's just everything is done in our masculine. Everything is done. And so we're like, oh, well, I'm going to heal with a spreadsheet. I'm going to heal with a formula. I'm going to heal with a checklist. And so it's one of these things that like we say all the time is like ovulating is a feminine function. You cannot do that in the masculine energy. Like getting pregnant is like the ultimate, and not saying that, you know, like one is better than the other. If anything, I think if like Mishi definitely flows in her feminine. I mean, we need her because Danny and I would be operating in our masculine all day, every day. And then we have Mishi who's like the triangle. That's like, okay, now we're balanced out. Right. But it's like one of these things of like, we can get so obsessed with healing and HA recovery that like we don't realize that we just took our diet mentality and refocused it. And because it's a good thing now, then that means that everything should be okay, right? But really and truly, like your body had just been through like some pretty intense things. And think about like you doing something that's not related to recovery, but is related to recovery, really is tapping into that feminine, that softer, right? Where he said, we're like, think about a time now that like we don't get insulted when someone says, oh, you're soft, like, you know, like you're softer, right? Where before that probably would have infuriated. It probably would have been the biggest insult because we only knew how to operate in our masculine. And I think you have a pretty high end job too, as well as like project manager, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So look, yeah, you definitely need to be in your masculine for that. And I'm sure that there's, and I'm sure, you know, I'm excited to see you evolve even in that. Like, what does it look like to be a great leader who has both the feminine and the masculine rather than thinking that like we only have to run businesses like men or stuff? I mean, that's a whole other side tangent, right? But yeah, like we can't dismiss that like when our vagus nerve, right, is like just has this chokehold on it. Like, think about like you're just strangling it and then you're like, and please heal. I'm going to strangle you with my routine. I'm going to strangle you with my schedule. I'm going to strangle you with my expectations. I'm going to strangle you with my checklist and my spreadsheet, but please heal. You know what I mean? It's so wild. And I feel like that's something that I'm constantly having to go through too. So to see it be the linchpin for you was just like amazing.
Yes. And the thing is, I would never have gotten there without your guidance and the community inside the HA Society, seeing how other girls and women were doing that for themselves, that meditation and deep belly breathing and all of that kind of stuff. I never would have come to that for myself if I didn't have that kind of guidance in front of me day by day. And so I think that that's just the power of joining the society. And then if you can, joining one of the programs, because you really get the support in noticing those blind spots in such a kind way. That was a huge thing for me. I know I put on my form to you that like my biggest fear is being judged for the way that I was thinking for so long. And it was, I couldn't believe that nothing that I ever say to you or any of the other coaches, or honestly, any of the other women, because we're all similar,
Truthfully.
Nothing is met with judgment ever. It is, everybody is so kind and welcoming towards asking questions and telling them where you are, where you need help, or where you're struggling any time of day. It was so powerful to come here and find what the linchpin was for me.
Yeah, I think our community is unique in the fact of, like, I think as long, you know, truthfully, I think as long as Dani, Mishi, and I stay close to our recovery, not saying that, like, we hinder, like, evolving and progressing, but it's like, we had some most insane thoughts. The most insane thoughts. And so I think it's like being seen and being known when you're like, oh, you have a similar crazy thought too. Oh, you know what I mean? There's just something that goes off inside of you where you're like, yeah.
Part of the HA Society too, as I was just reflecting back on the last few months, you have this community of women who have gone through your, they cover all the bases. Mm-hmm. There are people who every single day who are brand new and they're just starting their journey, all the way to people who I've seen, they've gotten their 8th, 9th, 10th recovery period, but they're still engaging and interacting mm-hmm. with all everybody else who's all in the middle of that. So it's like, no matter where you are in your recovery, even if you haven't even fully put a toe in to start it yet, mm-hmm. there are people who are in that society yeah. who are more than willing to meet you wherever you are and help you either slowly progress or progress as fast as you want to. It's been so nice to see people who are much farther along than me and see, yes. okay, what do they do? What is their mindset? What advice do they have to do and not do? And what pieces of those advice work for my life or resonate with me? You can just kind of pick and choose from all mm-hmm. of these different women who are in there. So it was a great experience for me to join.
Yeah, I think that's something about the HA community in general is that, like, once you've realized that veggies, and look here, I love veggies and I love a good salad. I love a good salad. I know I like harp on salads, but we were actually talking about this, right? Like, I think that you were on that call, right? Mm-hmm. When I was like, but does your salad look like a half-baked harvest salad, or does it look like some sad leaves with no dressing? You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. I think it's fascinating. I don't even know how I got to salad. What was I saying? I got caught up in half-baked harvest.
Veggies.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Once, like, you have this experience that, like, cardio and veggies, that there's more to health than that. It's so mind-blowing that you can't help but give back. You know what I mean? Like, you can't help, like, even if I just tell one other person, hey, you're going to need a potato with that. You know what I mean? That you're just like, because I feel like we all have this moment where we're like, I can't believe I was so far off the path, but yet I was doing everything right.
Yeah. And I think a key part of it too, at least for me, was once I realized how strange some of the ideas and thoughts were that had been embedded in me. I mean, once I turn on my phone and open any social media account, or even a lot of the people who I talk to, choose to talk to in my day-to-day life, well, those people are pushing those agendas and those thoughts and ideas as well. So through the last couple of months, I've gone through this, like, cleansing journey of unfollowing and a lot of times it's like, okay, well, you can't get away from all of the societal mm-hmm. pressure. So the recovery that I went through gave my brain the capacity to ignore it, because you're not going to get away from it. You can't
yes,
skip through every single video on social media that's going to tell you the top three things to do to lose 5 pounds by this weekend. You can't get away from all of those things, but you can have the power once your brain is, you know, has a lot of nutrients in it. Now I have the capability and the power to ignore those things and to move on and not let it affect me and not want to go be the skinniest, thinnest version of myself, I can say, no, that is not for me. That's not how I'm living my life. This is how I'm now living my life. But I wouldn't have been able to do that if I wasn't eating the right way and giving my brain the nutrients that it needed to be able to help me overcome all of those types of thoughts.
I feel like you worded that so perfectly, because you're so right, where before your brain is so energy deprived that it doesn't have the capacity to push back.
Right.
It doesn't have the capacity to be curious. It doesn't have the capacity to be like, okay, well, that's for you and that's not for me. Like, so I think in order to have that expectation that like you wouldn't be influenced or fall into those traps while one of your main needs in life is not being met, is just silly. Like, you're not going to have the capacity to think for yourself when your body's just trying to get enough food. And you could be saying, well, I eat a lot, because that's what I said. Like, I eat a lot. Yeah, well, where's your cycle? If you don't have your cycle, then your body and your brain's not operating at max capacity. And sure, there's moments like, you know, like I had a good run, I don't know, 4 years before everything. So I say it all the time, everything was okay until nothing was okay. Right. Yeah. And I'm sure obviously that sounds like you know what I mean? Like, we're yes. Like, because I was lifting heavy and heavier than everybody, no one would dare question my eating habits, because I was still showing up and it was at the top. You know what I mean? No one's going to question that I don't like have enough recovery. Like, because you perform well in the beginning, nobody even bothers to question, right? And then it really starts to come out from underneath you, and then that's when it's just like you feel even more confused because everything was going so well.
Yeah,
definitely. Until it's not, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Oh, okay, what is one thing, I mean, you've already shared so many beautiful gems, but what is just one thing that you want to leave the people with? Whether it's encouragement, something that you learned, anything.
I think that one big thing for me, well, even just if I could say like a couple of logistic things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eating in the morning is like a must. It
coming from someone who fasted until
in the afternoon. Yeah, definitely. But then also just being so mindful of the blind spots. And I think that the blind spots are really, really hard to call out. And when I say blind spots, I mean what I learned from Ashley. What yeah. I mean is things that you're doing or think the way that you think about things and you don't even know it. You do it subconsciously. And then Ashley calls it out like, why are you doing this? Or have you ever tried to do it this way? And you're like, no, I couldn't even tell you where I got that line of thinking from, or I don't even know why I refuse to eat this type of food. And so just calling those types of things out. And an example of that is with the fruit. One day you were like,
tell me, yes, I remember
a lot of fruit. You don't need that heaping bowl of strawberries. And like, okay, yes, you're putting some whipped cream on it, which is better than not, but you're just filling up on the fruit at the end of the night. Why don't you just have a small piece of chocolate, and that might give you your body a little bit more of indulgence than what the bowl of strawberries is. And I had never even thought like, yeah, why do I eat this huge bowl of strawberries? And it's because it fills me up. So those are the types of blind spots that the Restore Your Fertility program really helped me realize. And then two other things. One other yeah. thing is, my emotions, I think, were completely turned off when I was in HA and not working towards recovery. I did not shed one tear on my wedding day. I was one of those people who was like, I don't know. I just don't cry. I grew up and I'm not a crier. You know, I don't have emotions other than anger and frustration if someone's annoying me. And that was a sign that something was wrong. But so through my recovery, you know, I'm lucky to have a wonderful husband and family, parents, siblings supporting me. I'm not kidding that every single one of my support system has seen me cry multiple times every single week. And I think it's because I looked at my dad one day and I said, I think that I'm literally releasing emotion That cortisol has not been letting me release for years. And I'm finally at a point where I'm feeling things and I have emotions about things, even positive, like love. I feel this like overwhelming love towards my husband, which, to be honest, I never felt as much as I love him.
Yes, I had one client one time. I love her. Like, she's been on here. She has her second baby. She said that during recovery one time, she looked at her husband. She was kissing her husband goodbye and started crying. I was like, I just love you.
Yes,
and so we were laughing about it so hard because I was like, was he going anywhere? She's like, no, he was just going to work.
Yeah. So my takeaway with it, my point with it is to just like let yourself cry it out, because it's recovery is hard. It's no one will tell you that it was the easiest thing. And so it's like, just let it out. There's nothing wrong with crying it over it. And then, waking up and seeing if you can do better the next day, or giving it a couple of hours, go do a meditation after a good cry, and you might be totally fine in the evening, get back on track that evening. So I think that just the emotions, to not be scared of them or try to push them down, just like let out the emotions to yourself or to a husband or a spouse or a family member if you can, because that really helped me talk through, blubber through all of these thoughts that were caught up in my head. And then lastly, I'm going to try to articulate in the best way possible, because it's in my brain, but let's see if I can say it out loud. I feel like at the beginning of recovery, because I was just running on cortisol and I wasn't nourished in the right ways, and any energy that I had, I was spending it on working out every day, I had very little patience. So at the beginning of recovery, I did not have the patience to like let the journey ride as it was going to ride. And so for me, it was 4 months. On day one, two, and three, I was like, well, I'm not bleeding. I don't see results. So this is ridiculous. And I had no patience for it to last any longer. Every day I was like, where is it? Where is it? But then as you're eating better and as you're letting your body rest and not spending so much energy on exercising, the energy that then I had, new energy that was building inside of me, I could use for patience. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Like, I'm so glad you described that. I remember I used to get frustrated at people just wouldn't move fast enough. I'm like, you are taking forever. So obviously things like even stoplights, lines.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think I've always just, patience hasn't always been a vibe for me generally, but deep in HA, it was like, I just couldn't bother to be inconvenient by how slow you're breathing.
Yeah, definitely. And so that patience that I had been now building up over the last 4 months, I could use it towards recovery. And now that I've had my first period, and you know, for everyone out there listening, I've only had one. So I'm no guru. I'm still working on my second.
You're there. You're doing the thing, girl.
But that patience now, I don't need it as much for recovery now because I understand how it's going. But now I am using it in my day-to-day life. I'm using it for myself at work. I'm giving myself grace. This kid hit my car the other day with their bike, and I didn't get upset. I was like, that's okay. They're fine. They didn't mean to. I can get this fixed. Whereas before, I would have been raging and so upset that I had to deal with this. But HA recovery allowed me to have that patience to say, okay, no, it's all right. You can move on from this. It's not going to ruin your day. And I really owe that all to recovery and just the nutrients that I'm giving myself, and just not, you know, being so high on cortisol all the time from the excessive working out.
Okay, guys, sorry, my computer died. We're gonna pick up. My internet was a little crappy, but here we go. So she left off on talking about giving herself grace. So pick it up, babe.
Yep. So now that just my brain and my body have the nourishment that it needs, I have the capacity to give myself patience, to give myself grace. And I had started to say an example. A kid hit my car outside riding a bike. And before I would have been raging, it would have ruined my day. I would have been so upset. I could not believe that I was like, it's all right. It happens. These, you're okay. I'm okay. I'm going to get the car fixed. I'm not kidding, Ashley. I owe that all to going through this recovery of like, I can deal with life so much easier now. And I have patience for other people and for myself, especially. And so I would say my point with the patience piece is that you have to let that build up. Like your body is not, and your mind is not used to having patience for anything. So you're not going to have patience for the recovery journey until one day you do. If you put the effort into letting your body relax from the exercise and following the protocol of what to be eating and how to be eating, your body will build up this patience that, yes, they can, then you can use for recovery, but then also you carry that into your personal life and use it for so many other things.
Oh, this is so good. And I'm so glad that you shared that example through all the insanity that just happened with my computer dying, internet cutting out, all that. I have a very similar story, and I didn't, and like, just to add on, it gets better. Like you get more and more, like it's wild. I remember I was at my friend's house and she has 4 kids and they're young, and you know, she has a interesting, hold on. Now my Roomba is about to start running. Y'all hold
on.
I
don't hear it.
Okay. My friend, like she has a little bit of like, she has a lot of trauma that she's like working through. So, and with that, like she doesn't sleep well. Sometimes she doesn't eat all day. And so my whole point of this is, I had my laptop, the one that's been breaking right now, but whatever. And on like the countertop, and like my little one knocked it off. And you could see that she was almost in like raged for it. And then she was confused whenever I just responded really calmly. Cause I know that my daughter didn't do it on purpose. Like she's 3. She's not sitting here trying to trash my computer on purpose. And I think I was even shocked at how calmly I responded. And then I realized how calmly I responded because I could tell that she was really caught off guard on how I responded. And I think it just goes back to, for you, it really was when your nervous system was able to just heal. There's just so much abundance that you're experiencing now, which is just wild. And to your point, you don't, and I love that. And I love that you brought this up. And then like, we're going to have to like wrap it up because your girl can talk to you for all day. Is that you don't have that to give yourself in the beginning. Right. It's not available to you. And you're going to have to kind of keep going through the motions as you heal until it comes, but it's not available yet. But it doesn't mean it won't be.
But if you follow the protocols, then it will be. And I would say out of 4 months, I mean, of course, you're always going to have these emotional days and stuff. I was emotional even through my first ovulation. Mm-hmm. But as the weeks went by, I was okay with how long that it was taking. I knew that it was needing to take time. I knew that it wasn't going to be the flip of a coin and oh, magically I have my period back. And so as I kept following the protocol, those things that are in place gives your brain the ability to have that patience and grace for yourself. So by month 3 and definitely by month 4, I was more like, this is fun doing, living my life in this new way and having this new outlook and perspective. And then the day that my period came, I was happier and more ecstatic than I even ever thought that I had emotion to be.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay. Well, so you're at the comeback for phase 2, whenever we achieve your goal of getting pregnant and that whole journey and just the wisdom that you're going to share with us. But for now, guys, that's what we have. And Meredith, you're amazing. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it. Get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So
rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.